Sean Tucker's Pitts is involved in an unplanned dead stick landing. Bombardier has its first Chinese customer for the new CRJ-900. And Embry-Riddle joins some prestigious company. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, October 28, 2011. ANN has learned that Sean Tucker's Oracle Challenger 3 biplane had an engine out on Tuesday. Ferry pilot Brian Norris was reportedly bringing the highly modified Pitts S2S home for the season from Tucker's last performance when the engine seized, and a forced landing on a highway near Bakersfield, California, was accomplished with only some scrapes to the bottoms of the wingtips. The plane was already scheduled for a complete teardown and rebuild over the winter, so Tucker's 2012 season schedule will not be affected. Sean's other plane is the Oracle Extra 300, and if you own one of those, the FAA has issued a special airworthiness information bulletin you'll want to check. It has to do with the rudder cables, which on the 300 have been made out of stainless steel. The stainless work hardens with use, which is not great when it's already less resistant to fatigue than galvanized cables are. Extra is switching over to galvanized on its new planes, but in the meantime, the FAA found an incidence of a 300 which looked fine at one inspection. Then just 50 hours later, only three of the seven core strands on a cable remained intact. The affected area was where the cables exit the fuselage for routing to the rudder horn. Get the details in the text version of this story, dated October 27th, at aero-news.net. Bombardier Aerospace has announced that a Chinese airline, which requests to remain nameless at this time, has signed a conditional purchase agreement for six CRJ-900 next-gen aircraft. The transaction is the first for the CRJ-900 in China and includes five additional options. Based on list prices, the contract is worth about $264 million U.S. Should all five options also be converted to firm orders, the value would be $491 million. Bombardier has recorded firm orders for 1,708 CRJs, with 1,647 of them delivered as of July 31st. By invitation, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University recently joined Oak Ridge Associated Universities, ORAU, a consortium that leverages the strength of 99 major PhD-granting research institutions to advance science and education by partnering with national laboratories, government agencies, and private industry. ORAU members, including such research powerhouses as Duke, Emory, Johns Hopkins, and Rice, award more than 37% of the nation's PhDs in science and engineering, and make up 37 of the top 100 research and development universities. Jeppesen recently received the aviation industry's first Type 1 letter of acceptance endorsement from the FAA, supporting the company's processing of navigation obstacle data. The letter confirms that Jeppesen's obstacle database complies with documented data quality requirements. The Jeppesen obstacle database contains about 750,000 global obstacle data points generated from more than 200 worldwide sources. Jeppesen obstacle data is used in terrain awareness warning and synthetic vision systems, flight performance calculators, and simulators. Still ahead, the helicopter industry meets to discuss human factors. Aerospace contractors warn the economic sky could fall. And the folks at Waco are bringing back another great old plane. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, October 28th. I'm Paul Plack. Aviation authorities from more than a dozen countries will offer their perspectives on safety at the International Helicopter Safety Symposium in Fort Worth, Texas, November 8th and 9th. The theme of the fifth annual symposium will be Human Factors, Our Collective Challenge, Our Individual Responsibility. The event is a gathering of industry participants aimed at finding ways to drive the helicopter accident rate lower. They'll hear from experts in human factors and pilot decision-making and learn about recommendations and strategies for mitigating operational risks. Organizations involved are also members of the International Helicopter Safety Team, created in 2005 with a mission of reducing the worldwide civil helicopter accident rate by 80% by 2016. Find out more at ihst.org. The Aerospace Industries Association lobbies on behalf of aerospace and defense manufacturers, so it's probably no surprise that a study commissioned by AIA finds that if the Deficit Supercommittee in Congress fails to act by its deadline and the U.S. defense budget is automatically cut, the result to the economy will be catastrophic. Dr. Stephen Fuller, director of the Center for Regional Analysis at George Mason University and Economic Modeling Specialists Incorporated, conducted the analysis on behalf of AIA and says, quote, "Our analysis reveals bleak outcomes for both the defense industry and the economy as a whole if the budget sequestration trigger is pulled and $1 trillion is cut from defense," unquote. AIA President Marion Blakey insists, quote, "We cannot add 0.6% to the current 9.1% rate of unemployment. It would devastate the economy and the defense industrial base and undermine the national security of our country," unquote. All the assets of a flight school in Allegan, Michigan, including six airplanes, were sold at auction this week to cover the school's debts. Dodge and Aircraft and SkyKid Aviation were grounded earlier this month, and their assets seized by the bank that had financed them. The flight school owned six planes when the end finally came, but the Grand Rapids Press reports that one of them, a 1974 Piper Warrior, had no engine. Scott Miedema, the president of Miedema Auctioneering, said it was a pretty unusual repossession job. He told the paper that one of the airplanes was flying when he and representatives of the bank showed up at the airport. He said the owners of the business were not happy, but understood the situation and handled it professionally. Bidding opened on the airplanes at $5,000 each, and all of them were sold. Rocket Plane Kistler, a Wisconsin-based company which got millions from NASA to develop its reusable rocket plane technology, declared bankruptcy last month, and all the company's assets are already on the auction block. It'll happen in just a few days, November 11th. The auction will be conducted at the Hilton Garden Inn of Green Bay, Wisconsin, but it will also be webcast. David Barkoff is director of sales for Heritage Global Partners, which will handle the liquidation of assets pending court approval. He notes, quote, "This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for companies all over the world to bid and compete for its intellectual property and physical assets. Rocket Plane Kistler's technology has an extremely valuable and important place in our world," unquote. You can get details on the process at hgpauction.com. And finally today, Waco Classic Aircraft says on its blog it has officially received the type certificate for the Great Lakes 2T1A. The company says it will now be better able to work with the FAA to return the Great Lakes to the air. The 2T and its variants are smaller than the Waco, and at one time were a top choice for competition aerobatics, rated at plus 9 and minus 6 Gs. The plane grew in capability over the years from its original 85 horsepower to a Lycoming 0360. The original design has been updated a few times, and ownership of the design has passed through many owners over the years, including availability as plans for home builders for a while. Waco says most of its planned engineering updates have been completed, including frame, avionics, and provision for the new Lycoming IO390, a 210 horsepower engine. Fabrication of the first frame has started, with completion expected any minute. The company says it expects the first test engine from Lycoming late this year, with flight tests beginning in January. The first customer airplane will be started in December, with subsequent starts every 4 weeks. The only thing cooler than seeing the Great Lakes going back into production is seeing it being done by somebody who's proven they know how. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.